Good morning, 1220 listeners. This is Caroline from the City Mission, and you're listening to Faith in Crisis, serving your neighbors in need. The City Mission is running this half-hour program once a week through the rest of 2017, and we'll be sharing about several urgent issues and opportunities the church has to engage their neighbors in need around the greater Cleveland area. This week, we'll be discussing the topic of reentry with the City Mission's Inmate Outreach Services Chaplain and Program Manager, Brent Richards. Good morning, Brent.
Good morning, Caroline. Glad to be here with you.
Before we start, I think it's important to define two components of this conversation. Inmate outreach services at the City Mission and the term reentry. Brent, can you begin by telling us about inmate outreach services?
Inmate outreach services is the City Mission's jail and prison ministry. The City Mission has always had a presence in the jail from its beginning 107 years ago. We recently, in the last dozen years or so, changed the name to Inmate Outreach Services because we provide more than just the chapel services inside jails or prisons. We provide opportunity for inmates to have a safe place to come if they're released on bond or their case is dropped, if they're in an unsafe situation, spiritually or physically. Emotionally, you know, we let them know that we have a place at the City Mission. So we're providing services in addition to the gospel message.
And reentry, what exactly does that mean?
Well, reentry is the term that describes an inmate being released from prison. It isn't just upon his release, it also includes some time prior to his release, where the Ohio Department of Rehabilitation and Corrections, known as ODRC, are trying to make connections available to them once they're out to help them in seeking housing and employment. Because if folks don't have these things as they re-enter, it makes it very hard for them to succeed and sometimes will lead to recidivism or reoffending. It's a term that used to, in previous years, be known as aftercare. And that's basically really what it is, but it's aftercare from the community with all of these different resources. And the City Mission plays a very important part in that. We help, again, people connect to a safe place to come and stay, get Christian discipleship in our Laura's Home Crisis Program for Women and our Crossroads Crisis Program for men, but oftentimes when we're communicating them, we describe what we're providing is help in the reentry process.
Brent, what percentage of the populations of the City Mission's ministries of Laura's Home and Crossroads have come to us through inmate outreach services or in the process of reentry?
Well, sometimes it's hard to see because the similarities between the homeless population and the released prison population is so overlapping. Oftentimes, the homeless population are those released from incarceration with no place to go. We don't always know their history when they come here to the City Mission. But of those that we do know their history, probably at any one time, there's 35% or so of our men's population. Sometimes it's higher than that. Consists of folks who have recently left incarceration. At Laura's Home, it's probably a similar percentage. There's a dozen women usually there at any one time. They come as single women, so it's not as high of their total population because much of their total population consists of the children of mothers that are there. So, but it's probably similar to that 35-40% of the population.
What are ex-offenders most concerned about as they're about to be released or as they're in the process of reentry?
Well, if they come out of prison the same way they went into prison, it's going to be difficult for them. If there hasn't been a change in their thinking, and in fact, that's the wonder of the gospel message, is that it makes a new creation out of folks. Or for those that have wandered away from their faith in Christ, it can restore that relationship where they are beginning to walk more and more following the example and the teachings of Christ and the scriptures. But if they come out changed on the inside and we're not making opportunities for them to have access to resources on the outside, it can be a very discouraging time, a very hard time, especially if they're coming out with a hope of living a new way of life and they go right back into situations that just stir up and encourage the old way of life and the old way of getting by. So what we provide, along with many other agencies here in Cleveland, is just a helpful change, a place to change. But of course, we're built upon helping men and women learn to apply Christ's teachings to their lives for those that have, you know, made that choice to follow Him.
What are some of the barriers for a person doing their best to adjust to life after prison?
Well, what's referred to as collateral punishments are things such as someone committing a crime, they lose their law license or they lose their nursing license. And when they come out, they're going to have to go into another field that they're not adequately prepared for, they don't have the experience for. Other times, there are fields that are shut down to you through this collateral. Folks won't hire people with a felon, or some occupations won't allow you to come there if you've committed a certain kind of a crime. So there's a lot of barriers that are set up. Sometimes there are more barriers than safety nets. You know, there needs to be some safety precautions set in place at times. It can really affect their ability to find work and even to find housing. They may have family members willing to take them back, but other factors won't allow them to relive in that same family home.
As someone with a lot of experience in prison ministry and a pastor themselves, what do you see as the church's role in reentry?
Well, the church is the hope of the world. Folks who are living the gospel and offering, you know, Paul and Peter both instruct us to practice hospitality one to another. That doesn't mean we necessarily accept one to come live in our home, but it means that we welcome them. In Galatians chapter 6, in the first verse, it says, "You which are spiritual, restore those who are caught up in a fault." And what returning Christian inmates find sometimes is that no one is willing to restore them. In fact, they're keeping their doors shut to them or putting up so many barriers that they're not comfortable in a fellowship there. That's not practicing hospitality. 1 Peter 4 in the 8th verse says that we should have a fervent love one for another, because love will cover over a multitude of sins. It'll help us change the way we're reacting to folks. And the hospitality that he speaks of in the next verse, that we're welcoming them into our lives, into our churches. Many inmates released say they don't feel welcome, or sometimes simply have not been welcomed, and on rare, unfortunate occasion, banished from fellowship at a certain place. So the church just needs to be Christ to those that are lost. There's mentoring programs going on in Ohio prisons where the church is invited, people of faith are invited to come in and mentor folks that are going to be releasing in the near future. True Freedom Ministries is a good connection for mentors in our local area here. And you get the opportunity to meet the inmate beforehand, visiting him perhaps once a month. And then when they get out, continuing a connection, maybe offering to buy them breakfast once they're out, just to sit down, invite them to your church. Again, practicing hospitality and the love of Christ.
And there are plenty of real-world implications for the church being a welcoming family for former inmates. I see here that the National Institute for Justice notes that within 5 years of release, about 3/4 of released prisoners were rearrested. What does a relationship with Christ and the church mean for someone who was formerly incarcerated?
Church can be so very important. I should say God's family, which is the church, can be so very important because the first year of a person's release back into the community is so critical in the record and the recidivism rate. There are many studies out there that show that if a person has been participating in Bible studies and chapels before they're released, they're much less likely to reoffend. That's why the ODRC has invited Christians to come into the community and people of other faith as well. But the first year out is also very important. And if someone doesn't offend in that first year, chances are he is not going to go on to reoffend. But if he doesn't get the help and support and encouragement that he needs, he's sometimes left to his own devices and falls back on the only thing that he knows to relieve his immediate crisis. So in that way, the church can provide a welcoming and also a safeguard for the rest of the community in adopting these folks, caring for them, helping them to find employment, helping them to find housing, and just being a family to them.
Can you talk about some other practical ways one can help assist people in prison or reentry phase?
Well, also, churches can be a supportive base for inmate outreach services, or the local jail chaplain could always use assistance with finances to purchase Bibles and Christian resources. God has helped us here at the City Mission. We provide embossed envelopes. Oftentimes, inmates may get one free envelope a month or perhaps two. Sometimes none, just depends on the status of things at that particular time. So the City Mission likes to take in embossed envelopes. Churches would be welcome to fundraise to bring in the envelopes or add to a fund to purchase those. We also are purchasing Bibles for the jail and other Christian literature. Oftentimes in the jails or prisons, inmates might get an hour a week or 2 hours a week where they can perhaps get out. It's rare more than an hour a week in the jail to get out to a chapel service, sometimes not at all. So those chapel services are only an hour or so. What we can put in their hands can last them all week. So when we put Bibles and other Christian literature into their hands, it provides a very important ministry. Also, we purchase and we get donations of reading glasses. If an inmate can't read, then anything we put in their hands can't help them. And when a person gets arrested, they don't get time out to go back upstairs, grab their glasses, get their wallet, get the things that are important to them, put them in storage. Oftentimes they've lost everything, even those little things like that. And when they get out, they really are starting over. New Social Security card, new state ID, new birth certificate before they can access other services. So any way that the church can help, bus tickets are a wonderful item for churches to raise funds for and provide funds to get IDs and driver's licenses. Those are wonderful opportunities for the local church to be a supportive arm for us in inmate outreach services. That's basically why we changed our name from Jail and Prison, the City Mission's Jail and Prison Ministry, to Inmate Outreach Services, because we do want to provide some of these practical needs as well. We just don't want to tell them to be warm and be filled without providing some tools to help them be warm and be filled.
Is there a way for potential volunteers from the church to physically enter into a prison and minister to inmates?
honestly, we don't have the opportunity to get folks involved inside jails and inside prisons on a large scale at all, because when we go in, we're going in as volunteers. Oftentimes, a person would need, their church would need to contact the local chaplain of the Cuyahoga County Jail or a smaller city facility or a state prison, offer their services to the chaplain, who would then initiate a process if he has the need for additional folks coming in. What the inmate outreach services, what we really need help with is our office communications. That's another unusual, unique thing, might be better than unusual, that we provide is every month we are sending out monthly letters of Christian encouragements. I'll write on a certain topic with scriptures so the inmates can look them up and make it a Bible study as well as other helpful Christian encouragements and articles, and then try to put tools in their hands so they can do the work of the ministry right where they're at, because our mailings go right into the deepest, darkest spots of the prison. Many of those folks may not come out to a chapel, but if we leave something there of interest and unique and attractive, we get many letters from folks who picked up something that was left laying around and it ended up bringing them to Christ or wanting more information about Christ. Every month we're sending out to a little over 2,500, mostly Ohio inmates. We do hear from inmates outside of Ohio as well. So the church is needed to help us in these communications, perhaps signing cards. We do a lot of that at Christmas time, but we could do more of that, maybe sending cards out for inmates' birthdays and things like that, just to let them know that Jesus hasn't forgotten them and the church hasn't either. We need help in keeping up with constant movement of inmates. It doesn't help us to send a letter to one prison if the inmate has already moved on to another prison due to a change in his security level, or perhaps he got out earlier than what was expected, and we're sending mail out to people that aren't in prison anymore. So we do need help in just maintaining that prison list. If someone likes Excel databases, it's interesting because they're not just numbers. Every one of those numbers is a person that Jesus knows inside and out.
What are some other ministries with unique approaches to assisting inmates and people in reentry in the greater Cleveland area?
Well, many churches do have jail and prison ministries. The ODRC is really focused now more so than in the past. They don't need folks that can come in and just share the gospel. Not that that's not the most important thing, but there are a lot of ministries that approach the ODRC wanting to come in and share their story and share the gospel. And what the ODRC is looking for are folks that can help in the reentry effort, that can provide aftercare to these folks as they're releasing, again, through the mentoring program, through providing services that might be helpful to them, bus fare as people are getting out. So each of the Ohio prisons, and there's several in our area, we have Northeast Reentry, or now known as the Reintegration Center here in Cleveland for women. Not too far away is Grafton Correctional and Lorraine Correctional. Lorraine Correctional is a reception center for Ohio inmates. Some do stay there, are assigned to stay there, but many inmates, once they go there from probably Columbus on up to Cleveland from their local jail, county jail, they are classified there and assigned their security level and their parent institution. We do go out to Lorraine Correctional twice a month and have a city mission chapel where we encourage the men in Christ, but also make our services available to them. And then those inmates, many of them are going to prisons all over Ohio. So then when we keep them on our monthly mailing, we're staying in touch with them, but also providing a way to communicate with inmates around them.
What kind of educational and job opportunities are available to recently released individuals? Does the government provide any assistance?
Yeah, unfortunately, it's not an easy answer, and there aren't that many resources. There's a lot of government resources that folks can, towards employment, one stop, where they can take classes. But many of these same classes, folks are now getting their last year or so of incarceration. So for them, sometimes it's a repetitive step. Not that many jobs are available even when you're going through those efforts. But you do have ministries out there that are an extension of the local church because it's Christians, such as Edwin's, a restaurant corporation here in Cleveland, and they will connect with folks coming out of prison and or out of jail and give them the opportunity to learn culinary arts and become SafeServe certified. Once an inmate has participated there for 30 days, they even then will make available to them housing on their at their location. Once they find the fellow is serious and hasn't dropped out, then they can come and finish their time there, and they do connect them to other jobs. More and more of that is certainly needed, but it is hard to find.
I've been hearing more and more about the importance of expungement in the life of an ex-offender or a wrongfully convicted person. Can you talk about what expungement means by definition and what it can do for a former inmate?
Well, expungement can be very important. It's the process of getting your record covered over. No one would have access to crimes that you've committed, but it's a very narrow coverage as well. There are strict qualifications as far as the number of crimes, the type of crime, but you can talk to your parole officer, probation officer. You can look online and you can find out the expungement process. Sometimes local churches hold expungement clinics and reentry clinics, if you can get your record expunged, of course, that's going to be a big help to you. Years ago, anyone that had been in prison was listed on the ODRC website under offender search. Now it's been changed to where only those who are still in prison or under supervision. So it's not as easy, you know, if you have a record from 10 years ago and you adequately fulfilled your probation or parole period, it won't show up now on the ODRC website. But when you're applying for a job, if you get to the second step, well, then they can ask you if you've been incarcerated and they're going to do a record check, and it will show up that way. It's tough to get in the justice system. It's not good. Whatever person can do to stay out of it, they need to stay out of it because it has lifelong implications and it isn't always fair. Now, it's not fair on both sides because if the justice system was perfect, how many things would it have caught us at? How many more would have been caught? But if you are caught, sometimes it can be unfair on that end too, particularly when it comes to your defense.
From your perspective, what are some specific instances where you've witnessed someone successfully navigate reentry?
Well, there actually are many such instances, and when I've been in different churches in the past, it's always nice. Folks will come up afterwards and say, "Boy, I'm glad for what you're doing, because several years back, I spent a couple of years in prison, and it was a ministry that brought Christ to me. No one here knows I was incarcerated, but..." So you have a lot of that out there, but we have many occasions where we can see, we have two full-time staff persons that Inmate Outreach Services had reached out to and communicated with, and they came to Christ while they were incarcerated, continued to do time in Ohio prison, stayed in communication, came out, went through our crisis programming, went on to other job opportunities and housing opportunities, and then applied to the City Mission. And today they're filling important slots here at the City Mission.
And to wrap things all up, how would you like to encourage the church going forward as we look to help and love people assimilating to life after prison?
Well, I just would like to encourage the church to exercise Christ's love and acceptance to the least of these, because the least of these, in our eyesight, are no less important in Christ's eyesight. And He wants us to share His heart. You know, Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:16, he said, "We once saw Christ the wrong way, but we no longer see Him as we saw Him. We now see Him as who He is, the Son of God, the Lamb of God, the Savior of the world, risen from the dead." I'm adding a little bit more into 5:16, but He said, "Therefore, we no longer see any man after the flesh." Any man, it goes on to the next verse, that is in Christ Jesus becomes a new creation. Old things are passed away, and behold, church, everything becomes new. And God has left you and I, the church, the responsibility to disciple these people into this new life. That it doesn't happen by accident. They need grandmas and grandpas in the faith. They need moms and dads and big brothers and big sisters that come alongside them and will help them grow the same way folks came alongside us and helped us grow. The problem is with many of these ex-offenders, they're not being welcomed at times. Fortunately, many are welcoming them, but when we yield to the Spirit, you know, it says, "You that are spiritual should restore those who are overtaken in a fault." It relies on us who have the mind of Christ, that are walking in the Spirit of Christ. The job isn't left to the judgmental or those that reject others. It's not left to the self-righteous. The job is given to those that are walking with the same heart that Christ has. So I would encourage the church to nurture that heart and practice it so they can get stronger at it. And there's no better practice than giving yourself to ex-offenders.
You've been listening to Faith in Crisis, a program by the City Mission on 1220 AM, The Word. We hope you've learned a lot today, and that you'll join us in our mission to help people in the reentry phase. You can learn more at www.thecitymission.org and visit our Inmate Outreach Services page to find out more about our program here and ways you can get involved. You can also find Brent's email address there as well if you have further questions. We hope you'll tune in next week as we discuss another important topic surrounding homelessness here in Cleveland. Have a great day.